Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So as I said a moment ago, we're going to continue in the series of lessons that Pastor started a couple weeks ago called Let's Be Clear. And let's be clear. Now, foundational scripture, we're going to start there, is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And it reads, So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Aren't you glad he's helping us this morning? Oh, yes. Take your everyday, your ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking, but instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of us, out of you, and develops well-formed maturity in you. So if you want to be clear about God's plan for your life, don't listen or become like the world, right? But fix your attention on him and what he is trying to do in your life. So as I said a moment ago, Pastor has started this series called Let's Be Clear. So let's be clear, make no doubt about it, right? Let's be clear, don't get it twisted, right? Let's be clear, first lesson was we need each other. Why do life alone when God has already given you a family to do life with, right? So let's be clear, or don't get it twisted. Last week was we need rest, right? How many have been taking that day of rest? Y'all been taking your day of rest? All right. Okay. Take your day of rest, all right? So today's lesson is let's be clear, don't get it twisted. No, make no doubt about it. We all have a race to run. Somebody said we all have a race to run. So as I was thinking about this lesson, I was just thinking about my life, and I was thinking about how in my house or where we live, 8 times out of 10, if the television is on, it's going to be something sports related. The 2% is probably going to be a different world. I don't know why, but for the past 2 or 3 weeks, we have been watching a different world. I've seen every one of those episodes at least a million times, right? But it doesn't matter. I still just find joy in watching Whitley act a fool. But anyways, but if we're not watching a different world, we're watching some type of sports. If it's not football, it's basketball. If it's not a game on, then it's SportsCenter. If it's not SportsCenter, then it's Around the Horn. Or, you know, it's just PTI, you know, Pardon the Interruption. So I know all these shows. So I have, you know, basically, I don't know, Pastor's not even home, but I'm still watching football. Like last night, I'm watching the Alabama game. I'm like, why am I watching the football? He's not here. Because I have actually found to find enjoyment out of watching football, right? And so I was thinking about how even I was sharing with the 9 o'clock service how when I was growing up, I basically grew up around sports. I basically, where we were from was a very small town, so we only basically had 2 sports that you could play, either basketball or softball. Well, we play both, okay? And so I played basketball growing up. I played softball growing up. And contrary to what my sisters will tell you, I achieved all the accolades because of my ability and not because of their name, okay? They will say that, you know, some of the things that I accomplished in sports, like I made the all-star team for softball, they will say, well, that's because we were good and they knew that you were our sister, so that's why you made the team. But contrary to what they tell you, I did have skills and I earned the right to be on the softball team, okay? All-star team. So I played softball. Well, I got on the team, and mind you, I'm in Georgia. I'm like 11 years old, and in August in Georgia, it's at least 90 degrees in the heat of the day, right? That's not including all the extra stuff. It's just hot, okay? So mind you, so I'm on this softball team, and we're out there practicing day after day, all day long. It's hot. I'm like, shoot. I could be doing something else. So instead of quitting, well, let me put it this way. I don't like to say that I quit. I like to say that I just found other things to be productive with my time with, okay? So I chose, you know what, I'm not going to be out here catching this ball all day and hitting the ball. You ain't giving me no money, okay? So I chose to be productive in other ways with my time. So anyway, so today I want to let you know that there is an athlete inside of you. You may not be hitting the ball. You may not be chasing a ball, you know, running down the 50-yard line or whatever, but there is an athlete in you. Yes, you. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm going to show you in scripture in verse 24. It says, don't you realize that in a race, who runs? So are you an athlete? Yes, you are. Why? Because you're running, okay? So don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So do what? Run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I might be disqualified. So run to win today is our subtopic or our topic or, run to win. So if you're in a race, the last thing you want to do is be disqualified, right? You don't want to be running and doing all your, you've been training all this time and you get in a race and they tell you you can't run anymore because you've done something that disqualifies you. So you don't want to have all your training be null and void. So I wanted to remind you today that number one, you are in a race. You can win the race that you're facing. Your race, it began at birth. Your training, it is private. It's between only you and God. Your workout, it is serious and it is challenging. It will make you sweat, or sometimes it may even irritate you. But your race is in a stadium called life, and your event is an endurance race. Your opponent is committed to destroy you, not just beating you to the finish line, but he wants to destroy you. And there will be an award ceremony. The day is coming. Don't think it's not coming, but the day is coming where there will be an award ceremony. And if we lose the race, it's an eternity without God. But if we win, it is an eternity with God. So I'm challenging you today to run until you win the race. So I like to look at the scripture, and this is Paul who's talking to us. So today is going to be called Coach Paul, okay? So Coach Paul, he was showing us in the scripture that he's telling us what we have to do to win the race and also what not to do to lose the race, okay? So your race, it is winnable. No matter what you see or what you're going through right now in life, whatever you're going through, your race is winnable. Don't think that you have to live your life addicted. Your race is winnable. You don't have to be addicted to drugs or sex or pornography or shopping. Your race, it really is winnable. You don't have to go through life, go through like a midlife crisis, like you don't know who you are. But no, your race, it really is winnable. You don't have to live your life alone or frustrated or defeated. No, your race, it really is winnable. So maybe you've only seen people who've always just tripped and failed and just threw their hands up and walked off the track. But guess what? No matter where you are in life, you could be the person that, you know what? I'm going to stick to this course. I'm going to keep running until I get to the finish line. Amen. So again, we want to finish our race and we want to finish our race strong. So I have only 2 points for you today. So it's going to be real short, sweet, and good. All right. So the first point I want to give to you today, it's one that I can't say I just thoroughly enjoy. But the first point that we're going to have to do in order for us to run this race is we're going to have to get in shape. We have got to get in shape. So I know y'all are all thinking about the natural. So yes, we got to do some things in the natural as well. But we're going to have to get in shape naturally and spiritually, okay? So it's going to take a workout and us putting in the work for us to get the results that we need to see. So if you ever notice that any sporting event, there is always an opponent, right? You never go to a game thinking that you're going to go play yourself. Right? You know that you're going to go to a game and play somebody else. So you always have an opponent when you go to a game. And competition always demands what? Preparation. That's why you have practices. That's why you have rehearsals, because you want to go there knowing what the game plan is. You don't want to just go to the game you have not practiced, because you're like, okay, who's the point guard? Who's the quarterback? So you want to know all these things because it takes preparation for you to go there and be successful in the game, right? So there's going to be some preparing. There's going to be some time or some work you're going to have to put into it before it's game time. So even in your life, your preparation is you have to start taking time to pray. You can't come to a storm and not have the word of God in you, but then what's going to come up? Whatever you've been watching on TV. Because you won't have the word on the inside of you. What's going to come up? Whatever you've been saying, because you have not been put the word of God inside of you. So your preparation is you constantly putting the word of God on the inside of you. That way, when it's time for when the trial or the challenge comes along, you can put the right thing on it for you to be successful in it. Amen? So you got to make sure that you're always preparing when it seems like everything is good. Just because you don't have a storm right now, don't start taking it easy. No, you still keep doing what you always want to do, which is keep praying, keep reading the word, keep listening to the word, keep applying the word. So you never slack up on what you're listening to or hearing when it comes to your game, your preparation, because that is always preparing you for when it's time to fight, amen, or run your race, okay? So here's the thing. Whenever you're our competition, we always teach you that, your competition is never your sister or your brother, right? Your competition is really yourself. You know, who your competition is being better than you were yesterday. You're competing against, you know, this person that has the you is this person. You're competing against a person that wants to just sit down and not do anything. You're competing against that person that wants to sit down and just watch A Different World all day. You know, your flesh just want to sit down and do nothing all day. So that's what you're competing against, is the you on the inside of you and not your sister or your brother, right? So it's your flesh that wants to just live wild and free that you're competing against. No, you're going to tell that flesh, no, we're not going to do that today. You are going to be in charge of your flesh, right? So whatever race you're running, or whoever your opponent is going to take you preparing for that race. And in the process, or the process of you being preparing, there's one word that you have to be, and that is disciplined. You have to be a disciplined person. So discipline is really that self-control. It is that self-restraint. It is that self-correcting. It's where you sit down and you talk to yourself and say, no, you're not going to do that. I was always, when growing up, thinking, talking to yourself was a bad thing. But no, I talk to myself all the time. So you're not crazy if you talk to yourself. So go ahead and tell yourself, no, you're not going to do that today. No, you're not eating that fried chicken this morning. No, you're not going to sit here and watch TV all day. We're going to read the word. No, we're not going to do that. So talking to yourself is a good thing. All right, it's self-restraint, it's self-control, it's self-correcting. You know, I was thinking about it. You know, they have, what's her name, Iyanla Fix My Life. You don't need Iyanla to fix your life. You can fix your own life. Right? Don't be calling and telling everybody your business. No, you go to God. He'll tell you what to fix. Spend some time in prayer. He'll say, no, you know you got an attitude. Fix your attitude. No, you know you're nasty and mean. Fix that. So you can fix yourself if you spend time in prayer. Okay. All right. But nothing is going to grow in a comfort zone. Every time you just sit there and remain comfortable, guess what you're doing? You're just marking time. But God is saying, no, it is time for us to grow. We got to stop seeing ourselves, because what happens if we'll go through life the same, next year you'll be the same person you were last year. You'll be doing the same thing, mad about the same thing, mad at the same person, didn't change anything. Why? Because you're not growing. And God said, no, it's time for us to stop being stagnant and stop just marking time, but get out of your comfort zone and allow Holy Spirit to really work on us. We don't want to be the same person that's dealing with the same issue year after year after year. No, it's time for us to go ahead and master these things, conquer these things, and let God be glorified in our lives. Amen? So nothing, again, is going to grow in a comfort zone. You're going to have to dig in. And discipline, again, is where I have to oppose myself. Where my body says quit, my mind says keep going. When my emotions are saying, oh, this is too much, I can't take it anymore. No, Holy Spirit is saying, just keep taking one step at a time. You can do this. Don't give up. Amen? So there's a battle that's going to go on. There's already going on in your mind. And whichever one wins the battle in your mind determines if you're going to win or lose or not. So you want to make sure that you're always constantly feeding yourself with the word of God, because it's going to encourage you. It's going to strengthen you along your race. Amen? And it is real easy to begin to make excuses in life. You know, I was thinking about even my own self, because I'm like, wow, this time last year physically, I was in a better physical state. Because last year, this time, boy, I was killing it on my Peloton bike. I wouldn't have, you know, I was eating. I was very disciplined in my eating. But then I'm beginning to make excuses. Well, we're moving. My bike's in storage. Well, there's pavement all around New Bern. I could have been walking, right? But that was an excuse. But the thing is, we have to make sure that, you know, we don't allow all these excuses to come in. Then we really get real comfortable. You know, and that's what an excuse is. It's just an alibi for us to remain comfortable and about living in mediocrity. And we can't remain comfortable, because we will always remain mediocre. But God says, I did not design you to be mediocre. I designed you to be above, to be winning, to be on top, to be an example. But we cannot be on top or winning in an example if we're always being mediocre. So we've got to set our standards higher and not allow our excuses to keep us captive to who we used to be and not who God wants us to be. Amen. So God designed us for more. All right. So verse 26, Paul tells us here to run with purpose. And here's how you run with purpose. You start by telling your body what it's supposed to do instead of asking it what it wants to do. Oh my God. Because it's funny. You go, okay, what are we going to do today? We're going to sit right here. if you don't tell it what to do, you won't go to work. You won't take a shower. You won't get dressed. You'll just sit right there. Oh, it's a chill day. Girl, you've been chilling for 10 days now. No, it's time to get up and tell your body, no, we got to do something productive today. So we have got to stop asking our spirit what it wants to do. Because, if you're not feeding the real man, the flesh is going to say, we ain't going to do nothing today. Shoot, a different world, you know? But no, God is saying, okay, you have to be in control of your emotions. You got to be in control of your flesh, because your flesh will not do, it will not go after things of God if you don't make it sometimes, right? So again, we have to start telling it what it's supposed to do, not asking it what it wants to do. And Paul is basically telling us here that we're either going to live disciplined or we're going to live disqualified. We're either going to live disciplined or we're going to live disqualified. That means I can't live any old way I want to live or do anything I want to do. You know, I can't just go anywhere I want to go. But no, I'm going to live a life that's going to be pleasing to God. And it's not going to be a hard thing. Because again, it's my desire to please God. So therefore, I'm going to find joy in it. Because guess what? Everywhere I go, God's going to be pleased. I don't have to look over my shoulder to see who sees me here. Why? Because that's not what God has called us to do, right? But again, we want to make sure that we're doing things that are going to be pleasing and moving forward, pleasing to God, and cause us to move forward in our walk with Him. So the thing about it is, you know, a lot of times in life, you know, when we are allowing the flesh to control us, sometimes we just let flesh have its way. Think about how sometimes when anybody ever wrote a message on like social media, or maybe sent a text to somebody, or about to send a text, you're composing it and you're just letting all your feelings out. You write it out, you type it out good, you read it like 3 or 4 times. Oh, let me add this too. Then you put it in paragraph form. You even capitalize some letters, add your emojis, because you want to make sure that the point is made. Let it be clear. This is how I feel, right? So sometimes the Holy Spirit is saying, wait a minute. No, don't do that. So we have to make sure that we have what we call an emergency brake on the inside of us that will stop us and correct us and say, don't do that, because it's going to be more detrimental than good. So make sure that you are not allowing your emotions to lead you and guide you, because, again, you don't want to cause hurt or harm, but you want to make sure that you are, make sure that things are restored and flourishing around you. Amen. So when the Holy Spirit says delete it, what you going to do? Delete it, right? You're not going to hit sin anyway and pray that it goes over well, because you can't unsend it. Right? You can go and delete a post, but sometimes people already don't snapshot that post. So don't do it. So allow Holy Spirit to say, okay, don't do it. And guess what? I'm not going to do it, right? All right, so let's go to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. Talking about discipline here. Discipline to make sure that we do, that we're in control, right? Hebrews 12 and 11 says, no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful, but afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. It says no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. So here's the thing, and it says here that there's a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. And the word trained in the scripture is where, in the Greek, it means gymnasium, okay? For those who are in a spiritual gym, you're getting a spiritual workout. And has anybody ever been to a physical gym before you go to the gym workout? And have you noticed people be walking around all cute? With the little matching outfits. And I think that's fine. You should go there looking decent and in order. You shouldn't just go like you got out of bed. So you should go looking, you know, cute or whatever. But, you know, when you go to the gym, it's about working out, right? So, you know, when you're doing it right, you should hopefully sweat, right? If you're working out correctly, you're probably going to be making some ugly faces because you done did 15 reps with a 15-pound dumbbell and my arms are tired. So your faces may be ugly if you're doing it the right way. You know, if you're at the gym, you're doing it the right way, you know, you're probably going to, you know, be like grunting because this is the last one. I think I got one more in me. So there's going to be those type of sounds or facial expressions or sweat because you're in the gym to what? To work out and to make a difference in your life, right? So when you're in a spiritual gym, guess what? There's going to be some time where you're going to have to press against your old self that says, you know what? I don't want to do that right now. But no, it may not be comfortable saying to your friends that want to keep going to the club that you don't want to go no more that, you know what? I'm not doing that no more. So when you want to do it right, you're going to start pressing against your flesh and saying, you know what? I don't want to do that no more. You know, it's going to be you pushing back your own desires and your own, you know, things that you know just aren't all the way right with God. But again, because you want to make sure that you're not going to dot every I, cross every T every time, but you're definitely trying. You know, that's my goal, is to do my best in everything that I do. So when you're doing it right and you want to try to honor God, there is going to be some work that's going to be involved. So you may find some days where you're really trembling and trusting. God, okay, I'm trusting you right here. But guess what? I know you're going to come out, show up for me every time. Amen. So growth is not going to be comfortable. And excuses are always going to make us weak and stuck. But the reward always follows the work. The reward always follows the work. So I cannot expect a reward if I don't put the work in. Think about a team. They cannot expect to win if they don't keep practicing hard. I mean, if you wonder why you keep losing, how are you practicing? You know, so again, you cannot just think practice is just, oh, this is just practice. No, this is like a real game. So you got to take everything serious and do everything full effort and full ability. Amen. So it's you making the natural decisions that will change everything spiritually for you. So practical decisions, they produce spiritual advancement. You made a practical decision today to come to church. You made a practical decision today to come into a spiritual environment that is going to lift you up spiritually and move your life forward. So every time you make a decision to do something practical that's going to be productive for your spiritual advancement, that's what's going to happen. So in other words, you come here today to hear the word, it's strengthening you, and now you're getting, now you're going to be moving forward, strengthened. Spiritually, amen? Every time you decide, you know what, I'm going to try to go to church 4 times in a row. To some people, that may be a challenge. But some of us that grew up doing it, it's just what we do. You know, we go to church on Sundays. But some people, 4 times in a row, that's Sunday. That's four Sundays. So to them, that could be a challenge. But guess what? I'm going to do whatever I got to do to move forward spiritually. But again, that's a practical decision I'm going to make because I want to move forward spiritually. Amen? And maybe it's you saying, you know, I've never tithed before. What is tithing? Giving 10% of my money? I'm going to try that. I want to see, can I really live better off the 90% that the Bible says? So guess what? That is a practical decision that's going to advance you spiritually. Or maybe you're saying, you know what? I just got to go and tell somebody about God, because you know what, my life has really been good, and it's just really selfish of me not to go and tell somebody about Christ. Guess what? That is a practical decision that's going to advance you spiritually. So there are some decisions you're going to have to make in the natural that's going to help advance you in the spirit. But again, you have to make the decision to do it. Amen. So it's all about a decision, and that was all point number one. So guess what? I'm on point number two, and I'm almost done. All right. Are you being blessed so far? All right, so point number one was what? Get in shape. And how do we get in shape? We got to be disciplined. Amen. We're going to discipline ourselves to do what is right. We're going to allow Holy Spirit to take the lead in our lives and not always do what we want to do. Amen. So point number two is we have to run hard and never quit. Anybody ever fail while you're running? Or even maybe walking, you know. Some of us, you know, I just have to laugh. You just walk and just trip over the air, you know. But what do you do when you fall down? You get back up, right? Very, very profound. You know, unless you're like me, you know, I may fall down, I may stay there and laugh a little bit. Then I'm going to get up, you know. But most of the time when you fall down, you get back up, right? And so here's the question that I want to ask you today. What do you do when you fall? You get back up. So anybody that's ever blown their walk, you know, with Christ, you feel like, man, I missed an opportunity to witness somebody. Or, man, I went off on my job, and that was not a good example of what God wanted me to do. So anybody ever blown it that way before? But guess what? It's okay. God says just forget about it, get back up, and keep on going. So ask for forgiveness, forget about it, and keep on going, right? So you get back up. So Scripture tells us in Proverbs chapter 24 that a good man falls 7 times, but he gets back up, and he keeps on running. So you run harder, you never quit. Yeah, you may fall down, you brush yourself off, you get back up, and you keep on running, all right? You got to get the mindset that I'm not here to impress people, all right? But I'm just here to finish. And I'm here to finish strong. So it doesn't matter who's looking at me or how they think I may have should have done something a certain way. It doesn't matter what they think. I'm just here to finish strong and please God. Amen. So it's not about impressing people, but it's about pleasing God and finishing strong. So I have a story I want to share with you, and then I'm going to be wrapping this up. So anybody like watching the Olympics? Yeah? Anybody like watching the Olympics? Okay, good. So, you know, I was thinking about it. There's all kind of sports that they show in the Olympics. You know, you can be bowling and go to the Olympics. You know, you can ride horses and be in the Olympics. You can shoot these little cannon things. They have all kind of sports for the Olympics. But some of my favorite ones are gymnastics and, of course, the relays, the running, the races. So I want to share with you about the women's relay team. And they ran the 4x100 relay team. So in the 90s, they were like dominating all of their races, okay? All of their preliminary runs, they were winning golds left and right. They were deemed to be, they knew that they were going to be the Olympic champions in the 90s because of the 2000s, because as they were preparing for it, every competition they ran and they won and they beat everybody out of the water. Okay, so they were training hard. They were ready for the moment. So they get to the Olympics in year 2000, and they went to Sydney, Australia. And so the USA women's team, they were running, and guess what happens? They fumbled the baton, and it slowed them down, and they got bronze, okay? They missed silver by 0.25 seconds. So they're like, wait a minute, how in the world did this team, they have been running together for all these years, they were ready for this moment, how did they get to this big stage and disappoint everybody and get third place, okay? So that's year 2000. So everybody's disappointed. So 4 years, they get to training, they go back to training again. So 2004, okay, we're going to redeem ourselves. Last year we got there and we fumbled the baton. This ain't happening this year, okay? So we're gonna go and take care of business. So 2004, they get to Athens, pumped, ready to go. Last time it was crazy, they fumbled. So this time they take off, and between the first and second leg, as they're handing off the baton, they pass the baton past the exchange zone, and they were disqualified. So the first year, they fumbled the baton. They go home, practice 4 more years, get here. They pass the baton, but they passed it too late. They were disqualified. Okay? So what happens? They go back, reboot, let's train 4 more years for the next time. All right? So here we are. 2000, they fumbled, right? 2004, they disqualified. So 2008, here we go. They're in Beijing. This is our year. Okay? Make no doubt about it. Let's be clear. Don't get it twisted. 2008 is our year, right? They're in Beijing. They're running, taking it all the way is what they're saying. So they're on in the race, and guess what happens? They drop the baton. My Lord, that's what I said, right? So 2000, they fumbled the baton. 2004, they're disqualified because they passed it too late. 2008, they drop the baton and don't even finish the race in 2008, okay? Don't even finish the race. So anybody ever fumble in the room? Anybody ever fumble some things? Okay, of course you have. And you're like, can I just get one more chance, God, to make it right? Let me redeem myself, okay? So 2012, the Olympic team, they are getting ready to go back to the Olympics again. This time, 2012, they're in London. And I have a video for you. I want to show you what's going to happen in 2012.
The women's 4x100-meter relay final gave Jamaica a chance to underline its claim to be the dominant nation in sprinting. The major obstacle was a USA squad looking to regain some lost pride after being disqualified from this event in Beijing. And right from the start, the US was out in front, with Tiana Madison starting strongly and the rest of the field trying to catch her. At the first change, Allison Felix took over and ran one of the smoothest relay legs the Games has seen. Handing over to Bianca Knight, there was still a chance for Jamaica to mount a challenge. But by the time she passed the baton to Carmelita Jetta, the gold medal was virtually decided. Jetta charged down the straight, far enough ahead to point at the clock before crossing the line, and with good reason. The USA had just broken the second oldest world record in all of athletics, and an Olympic record dating back 32 years. Their time of 40.82 seconds was almost 0.6 of a second ahead of Jamaica, who ran a national record to finish second, with Ukraine doing likewise to take the bronze. On this night, though, the limelight was reserved for the USA, after the fastest women's relay ever run.
Okay, so a different story, right? So that makes up for all them 12 years. 2000, they fumbled. 2004, they are disqualified. 2008, they are dropped the baton, didn't finish. Here we are, 2012. Not only do they win, but they set a new world record. So in your life, doesn't matter how many times you may have fumbled, been disqualified, you know, may have dropped the ball, but God is saying, guess what? I can turn it all around for you where you not only win, but you set a new world record for your family. You know, you can break generational curses over your family's life if you just keep running the race. So don't just think that because you may have messed up, life's over. It doesn't have to be over until you quit. But if you don't quit, guess what? It's not over. So just stay in the race. Keep running your race. Don't give up. Don't worry about what people say you may have done. Yeah, that may have been me. I may have been that girl. But that's not who I am right now. So guess what? I'm going to keep running my race. I don't care how you see me. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm just trying to finish strong. Amen? My last scripture, we're going to go home. Isaiah 40 and 31 says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. So I just want to encourage you today, just keep hoping and trusting in God. Just keep hoping and trusting in God, because he really will help you. He's right there helping you right now. So just keep your hope. Don't let go of your hope, because it will not make us ashamed. Amen. So just keep hoping and keep trusting in God. Keep hoping and trusting in God. Keep hoping and trusting in God, and he will always lead you to victory. Amen. I pray you will bless on this morning. Let us pray today. Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you for every person that has heard this word. I pray that hope has been restored in their hearts, and that they will keep hope and trusting in you, and that they will run their race and finish strong. I thank you, Father God, for every person that is under my voice today. They realize that there is purpose on the inside of them, and that you are there helping them every step of the way. So though we may cry at night, you will turn our tears into rejoicing, Father. We thank you, Father God, for all things just being for the better in our lives. So maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to give you the opportunity to know him as your Lord and Savior today. Jesus is the best that I'm sure all of us will say that has happened to our lives. Or maybe you are here and you may find yourself in a backslidden condition, meaning you may have done some things that may not been all the way right with God. But God is saying, guess what? You don't have to get at the back of the line today, but I'm going to put you back in line. I'm going to restore you because you are my child. Or maybe you are here today and you're looking for a church home to help get all of your spiritual needs met today. Well, we are here, and WLCC is a great church with great people who are going to be here to help you as you make this journey for Christ on today. So if you're here and you want to rededicate your life or receive Christ for the first time or even join the church, if you're in the sanctuary, there is a connection card in the seat pocket located in front of you. Or if you're watching online, there is a link in the caption above. All you have to do is fill out that connection card in its entirety, and we are going to help you along your spiritual journey on today. So if you're here and you want to rededicate your life or receive Christ for the first time or join the church, again, just hit the link in the caption above if you're watching online, or take that connection card, and you're going to place it in the offering bucket if you're in the sanctuary. If you are a first-time friend, you're going to take that same connection card and take it to our first-time friends table located in the foyer on today. So let us pray together, because we all are always in need of prayer. Amen. We can always get ourselves right with God. So repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for standing against you. Oh, holy God, I know that Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. So Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior, and from this day forward, I'm gonna serve you. Now Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. You have nothing to do with me, and I have nothing to do with you, because Jesus is my Savior, he's my Lord, and I always serve him. So now, Father, we thank you again for all those who have answered the appeals on today for church, for salvation, church membership, or for rededication. We thank you that, you know, they are going to have their best life and experience their best life now because they have you in the midst of it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise all over the building on this morning.